Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Ranch out at Grace Chapel in West Texas for this morning's Sunday service. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just come before you again and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to join together, Lord. And we ask that you open our hearts and our minds so that we can hear the word that you have for us today, so that we have understanding, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna,
Thank you, Jesus. Let's go over to Psalm 51 this morning. To me, this is a reminder of how great God is. After David had been with Bathsheba, whom we all know that he murdered Bathsheba's husband so that he could have her and take her into his house, Nathan the prophet came and showed him exactly what he'd done wrong. And David prescribed this out to one of the musicians. To me, it's a prayer that we all should remember, because sin is sin, and it doesn't matter which one it is. All sin condemns you to death. It starts out, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." It doesn't matter what we do in our lives. He can see it. And he knows whether we do it for ourselves, which would be our iniquity, our pride, or whether we do it for him. On the day of judgment, it's all present. How much greater relief can we have than knowing that our Savior, Jesus Christ, has washed us clean, so that in that day of judgment we can stand. And hopefully everybody in that day of judgment has accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, so that they can enter in to heaven and not be cast aside as a worker of iniquity and sent to hell. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that my bones, which thou hast broken, may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." to me, stopping right there, that is a prayer. That is admitting that we are all sinners and all fall short as He did. But knowing that Jesus Christ, our Lord, can clean us, can energize us, can allow us the ability to be able to enter into His rest with the knowledge of being free. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a short message. Something I feel the Lord hit me with. Brother Bob was talking about the Psalm of David. We have to repent of our sin. We have to make it right with the Lord. Have Him make it right on us. Amen.
Amen.
But I've noticed something over the years. There's a lot of group of people that feel they can step around that. That they can be saved by association. It brings me to this scripture in Matthew 25, starting at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us unto us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wives answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. There's two things in this that really strike me this morning. One, and let me give you a little background first. Many people preach this is the bride. No, it's the virgins that ministered to the bride. And when the bridegroom came, he accepted the 5 because they were with the bride. So he accepted them. But when the others came, he did not know who they were. All right, this is referring to this little problem. When you accept the Lord, you get a lamp and you get oil in it. But it's up to you to keep that oil going. Just because you're with other people doesn't mean your oil is going to keep going. You got to keep it going yourself. And when the Lord comes, you can't look to somebody else for that oil. Because they'll have enough for themselves, but not for you. They're not going to give it to you. Can't give it to you. A lot of people think because, well, I'm married to sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, or because my daddy is this or my mother is that, I'm okay. It don't work that way. It does not work that way. I know there have been times in my past people in my household thought because they were of my household, they were okay. That's not true. Everybody is responsible for their own salvation. And then they look at the second part of this, which I find interesting. Those that didn't have it tried to buy it. And you can't buy that oil. You can't do it. That's self-righteousness. That is trying to be worthy on your own merit. I don't have the oil, so I'll go buy some. God will have to accept me. And then when you get there, I don't know you. Does that sound like something else we've been reading about? Get thee away from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. So I want just everyone to understand, you're not saved by association with anyone in this ministry or any other ministry, as far as that goes. You're not saved by association by any church or any denomination. Catholic Church cannot save you. Presbyterian Church cannot save you. The Methodist Church of God, Baptist, the Fisherman Ministries cannot save you. Your mama can't save you. Your daddy can't save you. Your kids can't save you. Your uncle and aunts can't save you. Maybe your dog, but you'd have to learn to listen as good as he does. The only one that can save you is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's something you have to do. You have to work at. Nobody can do it for you.
Right spirit within me. Good morning, everybody. It is a pleasure and a privilege to be here and to get to preach. That song is very interesting to me. David watched what happened to Saul. You know what I'm talking about? See, Saul had been given instruction. He'd been given direction. He'd been given an order to go wipe out a certain set of people. And he didn't do it. And Samuel came and confronted him. Do you remember the excuses he gave? Those people that you gave me, Lord, which is a little bit like Adam's line, and it didn't work for him either. But the people, and if you look at Saul, he was always fearful, more fearful of the people than he was of God. And do you remember what happened when that was the final straw? It was rent from them. The kingdom was rent from them. The Spirit of God left him at that moment. Do you remember that? So when David was confronted by Nathan, it was, correct, I believe? I wonder if that whole incident with Saul wasn't playing back in his mind. See, David was confronted with a choice to justify himself. Well, God, if she hadn't been bathing naked on the roof, this would have never happened. Or to fall down and say, God, against you have I sinned. And throw himself on the mercy of God. We, every single one of us, are caught dead to rights. Do you understand what I mean? Every single one of us are guilty of the offense. All are sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. We see this through the Bible. We are all lost without Jesus Christ. And it is through him and his sacrifice that we are redeemed. And a part of that is us confessing our sin, correct? Part of it is not us justifying ourselves. It is us confessing our sins, going before the Lord and admitting, yes, Lord, I am wrong. Now, we can do that, hopefully, with the big things, right? God knocks on our McFly, right? But what about the little things? Is there big sin and little sin? Or is there just sin? Is there big justification and little justification? Or is there just pride? So I listen to that song and I see where David was. And I ask the Lord to shine his light into my heart. I don't want to be like Saul, seeking to justify myself. I have lived enough of my life seeking to justify myself. I can tell you, it does not work. When the Bible says to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, you are never going to accomplish that if you are always seeking to justify yourself. You are only going to accomplish that when you repent. And to repent is to say, I am wrong. There is nothing redeemable in me that is worth saving. I am wrong. I am wrong. I am wrong. And you, God, are right. And that takes humility. The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. Don't we want grace? Don't we desperately need the grace and mercy of God? Amen. You will not get it if you live and walk in pride and self-justification. It In fact, it says God resists the proud. Now, if that is your entrance into heaven and he is resisting of the prideful person and you walk in pride, are you going to enter in? No. There is only one way through that. And it's not through pride. But God gives grace to the humble. If we can learn to have that heart of David that says, yes, Lord, I'm wrong. Where is there the fight? Where's the arguments? Where's the frustration? Where's the personality conflicts? If you just say, yes, I was wrong. How hard is that? I want everybody to say, yes, I was wrong.
Yes, I was wrong.
How hard is that? How hard is it? And then where is the battle? If I have a conflict with Robin and she confronts me and I say, yes, I was wrong, forgive me, where's the battle? Is there any more battle?
Nope.
But if I say, well, I was just or this, and I start justifying myself, what happens? There's a battle. We're not called to that, are we? We're not called to wrestle against one another, are we? There is an enemy out there that is seeking to utterly destroy you. That's the guy we fight against. Amen?
Amen.
That's our enemy. We are not each other's enemy. And if we can walk amongst each other in humility, there is no fight. I guarantee you, Brad, you remember this. When we first started talking in South Carolina, I remember telling you, I guarantee you, I will offend you. Do you remember that? I guarantee you, I will do something that will offend you, and I will be wrong in it. And I will ask you now to forgive me. Didn't I say that? Because we will make mistakes, won't we? We will make faux pas. Isn't it going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we get up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't know about you, but it's happened to me. That's when we extend grace to one another. Gosh, you make a mistake. You know what? Lord, forgive me. What's he say? So if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want that. You want that. Extend that to others. Extend that grace and love and mercy to others. Amen?
Amen.
There's no fight. If we are an army, if we are to go out and fight and engage the enemy, and we're hung up in self-justification and conflicts internally, how effective are we going to be out there? Communication's not going to work. It's going to break down. Feelings, oh, well, you didn't tell me the way I wanted to hear it. I'll do that over here so you can see it. Once was enough. There's just no space for that. There's just no space for it. Scriptures that have keep coming to me over the last, dadgummit. Should never have a password on your Bible, I'm just saying. I encourage you to look up some scriptures. One of the ones that I was looking up, and I didn't know how many times it was referenced, so I thought, hey, I'll see. And in the New Testament, I was just searching references for stand fast. Stand fast. There's stand fast, there's hold fast. There's lots of different ways that is talked about. But in stand fast, gosh, I've got several right here. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. That's in Corinthians. Philippians, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Is that not an awesome admonition? Isn't that just like Corinthians, that you all have the same mind, speak the same thing, have the same judgment? It's the same commandment. Amen? It goes on again in Philippians, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Thessalonians, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. Again, 2 Thessalonians, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast, hold fast, stand fast. We just came out of an awesome conference. Amen?
Amen.
Do we have to lose anything that we learned?
No.
No. If we hold fast, if we stand fast in those things, we will have them and we will keep them and we will build on them and we will grow stronger in His faith and His ability to accomplish anything that He sets before us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Anything. 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 The last scripture I want to talk about real quick here. Go to Ephesians. All right, chapter 6. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Isn't that like encapsulating what we heard through the conference? Isn't that awesome? Not being strong in the power of your might. Our might is worthless. It's insignificant. Be strong in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. I'm going to stop right before I finish the rest of that. What does it sound like if you don't figure out what it is to put on the armor of God? You are not going to stand. What's that? Charlie says you're outside the body. That's right. To put on the armor of God is to be in Christ. It is His armor. Now look at this last little bit. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to what? To stand. Stand therefore. As he continues to go on. Stand fast. Hold fast. Stand. Stand. The enemy is going to come at you. He's going to come after you. He is going, what does Paul say? He's got three buttons he likes to push. Money, relationships, health. And he plays them like a bongo drums, right? He is going to come after you. Stand. And what you have learned. Stand in the sufficiency of Christ. Stand in the goodness of God. Do not get pushed off. Anybody ever play King of the Mountain? If you're on the mountain, you don't want anybody else to come up that mountain, right? Put your foot on his head and shove him back down the hill. Do not give him any space. Stand. Stand. You can stand in Christ. You can stand in Christ. Amen?
Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Praise the Lord.
Cheer. Praise God. Praise God. I've been put on a little bit of a short leash today, so praise God. I'm regrouping here. Richard was talking about Matthew 25, and he was talking about those that go to purchase, remember? And the purchasing being about self-righteousness, where God then owes us. Rick was talking about standing strong in these things. Bob read Psalm 51. Now, what did David have to stand strong in Psalm 51? God's mercy.
Amen.
God's grace.
Amen.
Amen. God's ability to cleanse him from all sin. Rick was talking about big sins, small sins, big, you know, all these different things. I want to hit on something here because somehow or other, we got this really screwed up idea. We got some really screwed up ideas, people. And we've been trained in these screwed up ideas from our birth. Right? The thief on the cross, was he deserving? Of the cross, yes. Of the salvation that Christ extended unto him on that cross? No, we have no problem, I mean, seeing that and the like. You know, we look at it, David. What happened with David? Yeah, David, I mean, he actually, he loved Urijah. He didn't really want to kill Urijah. It was just that Urijah was so freaking uncooperative in covering up his sin. I mean, he couldn't get him to cover it up no matter what he did. He just would not go in unto his wife. And David knew that his wife was pregnant. And if he did not go in under her, his sin would be manifest. So I guess I just better kill him. I mean, really, that's what happened. He didn't really want to do that to Urijah. That's why he brought him back. But when all else failed, his sin had to be covered, right? Proved that it was wrong. His sin was exposed. And we look at this, and the reason why I want to hit on this is we look at it as though, well, I haven't done that. It's self-righteousness. Carrie said judgment, and she's correct. Self-righteousness and judgment go hand in hand. See, it says, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. See, when you go the path that she was just talking about, you find, for example, fault in others and think that you aren't as bad as they are, that somehow you did not do the kinds of things that they did. What happens is when you go stand before the Lord, you're standing in pride. When you go stand before the Lord, you're standing in pride. And when you go stand before the Lord in pride, what does he say? Get away from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Now, I want to read something here, Revelation 21:8. And I'll actually just start in 6. This is talking about the new heaven and the new earth and the holy city, which is New Jerusalem and everything coming. And it's talking about that scripture Richard was talking about, how he shall wipe away our tears over there in Revelation 21:4. And you get up here, and actually I'll go ahead and start at 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, I mean, just think of that for a moment. Micah, J.C., you got a daddy over there. His name's Brad, right? Imagine that your dad is the God that created everything. Everything. And made a way to reconcile you unto him because he knew you couldn't do it yourself. That's our God. He wants you and me, as amazing as that sounds, he wants you and me to be his son and daughter. But watch this. Then there's the but. See, when God says but, it's all right, because that's the condition he's laying out. But the fearful and unbelieving, the fearful and unbelieving, You can read through the others. The others are the ones you distinguish yourself. Abominable. Murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars shall have their parts of the... He begins with the fearful and unbelieving. See, David over there in Psalm 51, when God forgave David, he had to stand before all of Israel. He had to stand before all of Israel while they went through things that were a consequence of his sin. There was civil war. There was a... There was civil war, the child died, and another man slept with 10 of his wives before all of Israel. Set up a tent and said, da-da-da-da, here I am, and went in under them. All right? But the civil war part would have probably been the hardest part for folks. People died. People fought. Households were divided. Friends were separated. People died because of what David did. And I share that with you because notwithstanding every bit of that, David was still king and a prophet of God who had to stand before the people and fulfill that office with everybody knowing that it was his fault that these things had come down. And in fact, God used it to separate those who would stand in self-righteousness and therefore judge David and find him lacking when God had found him satisfactory. Not for what he did. But if you notice David's thing there of asking for mercy, it's all about asking for mercy because of God's tender mercies, according to his loving kindness. It had nothing to do with man, had nothing to do with his own. Remember, when Nathan came to him, he was ready to put down the man. That was what he was going to do. He was going to bring the man to me and I will take care of him. In other words, I will slay him. I will judge him. And Nathan said, the man is you. And part that Bob didn't read about as he goes down there, as he didn't read about the part, is how he would then teach people. He would sing aloud of God's righteousness. Sing aloud of God's righteousness. See, the things we have to stand strong in is we have to stand strong in God's righteousness, not our own. We have to stand strong in God's love, not our own. We have to stand strong in God's mercy, not our own. We have to stand strong in, that's what it is, to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, in order to do that, we have to repent of the fact that that's not what we've been doing. That's a big part of what the convention was about, right? But the thing is when we repent of that, God is faithful to forgive. So we can then go forward cleansed. We can go forward free of those things. And when we go forward and we fail and we stumble and we fall back into the old ways, we can count it all joy. We can count it all joy when we fall. Why? Not because it is joyous, but because it brings us back to the thing that we have to believe and stand in always, which is the promise of the gospel, the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ, and the promise that we will be resurrected by the power of God to live with him as his son for eternity. But if we're fearful and therefore don't step out, if we're unbelieving, our place, if you read the rest of 21:8, is, and I'll just read it in its full, but the fearful and unbelieving, highlight that because that's who the Pharisees were, who he said, ye are of your father the devil. That's why they had to be so righteous and they had to do all their things before men. because they couldn't trust at all in the righteousness of God. It was all about them. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So when you start trying to measure and compare and all the other things and think that somehow you got it, I mean, I'll tell you what, the fearful and unbelieving part to me for the last 24 years as a Christian, particularly, let's say, the last 14, I would say, when the Lord showed me the thing there about Super Steve was dead and had to die. The last 14 years, the biggest thing, and people say, how can Steve get down on his knees and do all this stuff, and how can he pray, and how can he every day? Because every freaking day, I recognized my own wrestling with being fearful and unbelieving and therefore not stepping out in the fullness of what he said. Every single day I realize that's why it talks about our labor is against unbelief. Okay? And they could not enter into his rest because of unbelief. So that's like ever before me. Ever before me. And when I see that and I see my life and I see my walk, I thank God that he gives me another day. I thank God for his mercy and his grace. I thank God because I realize how unbelievably far short I fall of the standard which he and the people I read about in the scripture set forth. And I know that my place, but for the grace of Jesus Christ, is with the murderers and the abominable and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. And I don't want that to be my place. And so I get inside in the inward man where he said, that's where you desire truth. That's where you acknowledge these things. That's where you get down to the brass tacks of recognizing there's nobody at fault but me. It doesn't matter what a single other individual in this fellowship, in your family, anywhere in the world, it doesn't matter what a single individual does. Nobody can take your salvation from you. And nobody can give it to you. But Jesus Christ. Amen. And our part is to believe him. And to then go forward and stand fast or stand strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. And what anybody else wants to say about it and the offense that that is to everybody, tough. Absolutely tough. I don't care how offensive that is. I don't care how much it grates on your nerves and makes you furious and want to hate me. I don't care. Because it's your salvation too. And if somebody doesn't stand, how's anybody going to ever see it? How is anybody ever going to see it? So everything, the thing that happens is unbelief. You know what always supplants unbelief? What always goes with unbelief? Self-righteousness. It's all the games we play, all the devices we lean upon, all the justifications we make, all the everything that is not of God that we stand in and do to fill that void that Christ is to occupy in our lives if we'll just believe him. If we'll just believe him. So let's go forward and just choose and fight with everything we freaking got against that unbelief and stand. Amen?
Keep trying to find a light. life that did burn me, your presence are diffused. Mine is no position, riches have no worth. May that once did cover me, has been sentenced to this earth. Tell me what's going on inside of me. I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a savior.
Give the Lord a cheer. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, Lord, may you just pour out your grace upon us. Lord, may you just pour out your grace upon us and strengthen us to stand strong in you and go forward and be a living testimony, not fearful, just like David went forward and was able to sing aloud of your righteousness, Lord, and teach sinners your ways. May we go and do likewise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
They run on the wall. Great is the army that carries out its word. They rush on the city. They run on the wall. Great is the army that carries out its word. The Lord utters his voice before his army. The Lord utters his voice before his army. Is Zion, Zion. Come here, Lord, on my holy mountain. Sound the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. They rush on the city, they run on the walls. Great is the army that carries out its word. They rush on the city, they run on the walls. Great is the army that carries out its word.
are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.